This has been, it's been a long week for everybody, okay? This is not just one family. It's multiple families that have been impacted by this week. I just think about that, and we're all kind of reeling from that. We have just gotten done with this Let's Get Together outreach, which was phenomenal. But I just want to think with, I want you to think with me about your summer, okay? Summers are just full of stuff, and rightly so. It's a fantastic time. Summer is a time when we get outside, where we've been cooped up all winter time, and it's just 4 months until some snow. Oh, I had to bring that up tonight. That's why we go outside in the summer, and that's why we do bunches of stuff in the summer, isn't it? We have a great time. But in the process of doing that, sometimes we pack so much stuff into our lives that we forget the important things. So I want to show you a demonstration. I think I've done this before for you. But it's a demonstration of why we have priorities in our life and why we have the big things of life need to be put into our lives first in terms of our days. And so I want you just to think about this jar, this mason jar, as your life, okay? And then you have all these activities. So we have a bunch of ping pong balls, we've got some rocks, and we got some sand, okay? And half of this jar here is going to go inside that jar. Okay, and you're saying, how can that happen? Well, let's just do it and show you how it works. And then we're going to talk about the opposite, okay? So we're going to take and we're going to throw the ping pong balls in first. All right, so ping pong balls are in. And then we're going to throw in the rocks. Been kind of like my week. Maybe your week too, So you get all that in there. Now some people say, well, that's full. And then you realize it really isn't full because you can start to pour the sand in. I was doing this last night to practice it. And as I shook it, the sand went all over the floor. Rosemary said, I just cleaned that floor. Now you get to clean it up. So I did. John, sorry, but you're going to have to clean this one up. We got to keep going here because you can get a lot of sand in this container. And this is kind of a demonstration of our lives. We have a lot of things going on in our lives, and we fill our lives up to the brim. And every little nick and corner seems to have something going on. As we were getting up this morning, you all know that I'm not really a very early morning person. And Rosemary is definitely early morning person. And so we always have this little running conversation in the morning. It's not every morning, but I'm sitting there with my coffee, and I'm waking up, and the kind of the week it's been for us, and she says, so what are we going to do today? And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to do anything today. I don't know what I'm going to do today. So anyway, you can see, I got a mess up here. That's the first thing you can see. But secondly, you can see that it's filling up and there's a lot of stuff in here, okay? Now, this is the way it should happen. But now let's go backwards and let's do it the other way around. Come on out of there. All right, so now we're going to take these balls and put them back in the... because they're ping pong balls and they'll be all the floor. And now we're just going to pour in everything we had. And now we're going to put the ping pong balls in. You can already see what's going to happen against you. Well, I've got four of them that won't even fit, and we're still outside the top of the box. The moral of the story is not fill your life up. That's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is if you want to get the important things into your life, you got to put them in first. The big things of life have to go in first. And so I'm not going to define all those things for you. You have to define the big things of your life for yourself. I mean, it can be family. It can be fun. It can be God. It can be your Bible. It can be anything. But I want to put one in there that is it's really important, okay? It's probably one of the most important things that we can do. And I'm going to call it praise, okay? Praise. Praise is one of the things we need to include in our lives, not just because it's important, but because it's something that God said that we should do. This is what he says in Romans 15. He says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. That's us, okay? Praise him, all you people of the earth. All people are to praise God. I mean, that's his statement, okay? But there's a reason for the praise, and that's what we're going to take a look at today. We're going to use Psalm 111. So if you have a Bible, it'll be on the screen, but if you have, open up your screen to Psalm 111. We're going to read this, and then we're going to walk through it verse by verse, because I think you'll see that what he's saying in the psalm is really, this is really important, and this is the reason it's important. So he says, praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people. How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Everything he does reveals his glory and his majesty. His righteousness never fails. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. And all he does is good, just, and his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true, to be obeyed faithfully with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy and awe-inspiring name he has. Fear the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. The psalmist says, God's work is amazing. Now, we all have been on trips where we go into a natural phenomenon, and we look at it and we say, this is amazing, okay? Whether it's a sunrise, and I know those of you who are morning people and you get up in the morning, you see the sunrise and you post them on whatever social media, you know, and all of us who are not so early morning, we look at that and say, well, thank you for showing me that because I didn't get to see it this morning. But we look at it and we're amazed at what God does. Last night there was a beautiful sunset, huge, just pink, just a gorgeous color, you know. We've been to the Grand Canyon. No, we haven't been to the Grand Canyon. We've been to Yellowstone National Park. We've been to Glacier National Park. And, you know, we've been to Beads Lake. Now, don't laugh. Because when I go to Beads Lake, it is absolutely gorgeous. It is. You sit there. If you sit beside the lake and you kind of look across it, and it's just glass-like, it's just beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's as gorgeous as the Tetons in a different way. And yet we live among it, and so we think, well, it's just Beads Lake. No, all of creation declares God's works as amazing. You know, he says, all his deeds are amazing, and those who delight him should ponder them. Appreciated Brenda's comments this morning about that passage out of Philippians, because it's about pondering his word, number one. Now, pondering his works. We should think about those things that are good and lovely and righteous and of You know, all those things, we should ponder, we should think about those. We need to take time in our busy schedules to ponder. That's to think, to wonder, to process about what God has done. Notice that it says that everything he does reveals his glory and his majesty. In the Psalms, there are always usually couplets. So there's one verse, and then there's the second half of the verse, and then there's another verse in the second half of the verse. And the first half of the verse says one thing, and the second half of the verse is an amplification of the first half of the verse. It's kind of an explanation or something that's developed in further. So he says, everything he does reveals his glory and his majesty, his glory, his majesty, who God is. When you think of God, this is who he is. And then it says, his righteousness never fails. It's the second half of the verse. How does it fit? In other words, his glory and majesty reflect his rightness. There is nothing wrong at all about his perfection. His righteousness never fails. When we look around at what we have around us, we say his righteousness, his glory is phenomenal. But then you have to start thinking about other things. And isn't it amazing that in the psalm he says to us, he causes us to remember. He causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our God, Lord. No matter whether you are looking at your family or you're looking at the struggle in a community, or in the shocking loss of someone in your life, no matter which way you're looking at it, those things in the right frame cause us to focus on him. He's gracious and he's merciful. He causes us to remember. Notice, one amplifies the next. And so it says, how gracious and merciful is our God, because he causes us to remember. Why is that important? Because we forget so easily. We forget so easily. Gentlemen, when was the last time your wife asked you to do something and you walked out of the room and forgot to do it? Ladies, when was the last time you forgot something your husband asked you to do? It doesn't matter which side we're working on, but we all forget. We all forget easily. And we forget easily what God is doing in our lives. And so he says he causes us to remember. And then he goes on and he says, he gives food to those who fear him. So today you're going to walk home, you're going to go home, or you're going to go out to eat, and somebody is going to put a plate of food in front of you. And you're going to say thank you to that person. But do you realize that they are not the source of your food? They are not, okay? It says here, God gives us the food. He's the source. That's the reason we pray. That's the reason we give thanks for our food. Sometimes it's just a tradition that we do it, but no, ultimately it is, Lord, thank you. You have provided this for us. You gave me strength to do the work, to buy the food so that we could have food for ourselves. He gives us food, and he remembers his covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, God made a covenant with Abraham, and if you want to just think about covenant in one way, just think it's a promise. He made a promise to Abraham, and it says he always remembers his promises. Wow. He never forgets. Never forgets. Always remembers what he says. Always remembers that when he promised something, it's going to happen. He has shown his great power to his people by giving them the lands of other nations. All he does is just and good. So think with me about this, because this is a psalm written for the nation of Israel, Israel themselves. And so as you look at that, it says his great power has given his people, that is Israel, the lands of other nations. And you think, well, that's not fair. But then it says all he does is just and good. He never makes a mistake. He always fulfills his promises. And so somewhere in this process, we have to understand, we have to believe that God is good. And he has given the land of Israel their land again, because that's what he promised them. And there is a way for all this to work together. But it'll work together underneath the kingship of Jesus himself, ultimately in the millennial kingdom, when he will reign over Israel, he will reign over the entire earth. All he does is just and good. And his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever true and to obey, be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. Faithfully means continually. Integrity means with honesty and uprightness. And then I turn to the New Testament because I always think of this verse. All scripture is inspired by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. It is his voice that wrote the scripture. It is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It's correct. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. His word is true. And we need to praise him for it. The 9th verse says, he has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy and awe-inspiring name he has. So he's paid a ransom for us. And we look back on Jesus, and they were looking ahead from the psalmist forward to Jesus. They were looking for the time when he would pay the ransom. We look back and we see the ransom. This is what Jesus said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He paid the ransom, the price necessary to pay for our sin, to free us from our sin. 1 Peter puts it this way, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust. We were unjust, he was just. That means he was totally sinless and we are full of sin. So the sinless died for the sinner so that he might bring us to God. He paid the price. He was the ransom. He was put to death in the flesh but made alive in the spirit. The Spirit of God raised him from the dead. It is that that we praise God for. This is the most magnificent of all his works. The gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the reason we do Let's Get Together. This is the reason we walk in a fair parade. Because he's given us good news to share with people. He's given us cold water to give to people. So we praise God because it gives perspective to our lives. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom, and all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom and they will praise him forever. The fear of the Lord, understanding who he is, that he is the one we praise, whether it is because we've had great things or because he has taken things away from us. No matter whether he gives or he takes away, we praise the Lord. We praise him because it gives perspective to life. It gives a focus. It's the reason we put in the big things into our lives first. That's the reason you should pray. And if you can, read your scriptures in the morning. And praise him for what he's doing. It's the reason those things need to go inside. It's the reason that these priorities need to be family and worship. They're all part of that process. But we need to praise him. And Kate, are you ready? Is Bill ready? Okay. I've asked them to come up here because I want them to share just a little bit about the praises of this week. You know, I'm paid to be good. They're not. So when you hear from them, it's kind of like, okay, they didn't have to say this. I had to say that. Well, some people think that, okay? The preacher's paid to do this, okay? But so So let's hear from somebody who is going to receive their reward in heaven, okay? But not here, necessarily. So tell us about the things that you just, how do you praise God for this week?
Yeah, I think to the relationships that were started. So we didn't have a large amount of kids at Kids Club, but the ones we had were very faithful and came every single day. Or I think of Fernando and Luis, their two brothers, who literally would get in Sam's car and drive around town with Sam and be like, oh, stop at this house, stop at this house, like, meet these people. There were about four or five kids who came every single day to Kids Club, brought their parents every single night out here. They were here all the time with us, hung out with us. I think we had 20 to 25 moms that we got contacts with. And then we ended up, so there's a family that is from Aguas Calientes that lives in town here and works for Jeremy Schrock. And so we ended up getting to go to dinner at their house and talk to them. And Sam got to share the gospel with them, and just like getting to really form relationships with them and hang out with them was really cool. Yeah.
So before you pass it up, I want you all to know something. Kate was one of the students that we sent to
China.
She came back early. Why?
Kate? I had a parasite.
Okay, she got sick. Okay. So, Kate, when you were coming back on the plane and, you know, it felt like God had ripped away part of your life, didn't he? So how were you feeling at that point?
Really disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of like, what's going to happen now? Yeah.
What, you know, how can good come out of this tragedy?
Yeah.
And then she comes back and she just jumped right in the middle of this this opportunity. And so how did God redeem?
Yeah. Yeah. I think realizing that, like, you don't have to go 7,000 miles away for a mission. Like, it's right here, right in front of us every day. Like, you can build relationships with your neighbors. It's that easy.
It's just, I mean, I'm going to say, you know, God has a way of doing things that we just don't understand.
Yeah.
And so, you know, can't we say, praise God. Praise God, okay? Because Kate brought something to our outreach that was phenomenal. I mean, she knows Spanish, which is great. Bill.
Well, I want to start off with, I think it was your first verse that you had up on the screen up there. The whole let's get together idea was for building a sense of community. And next verse.
Next verse.
Number two verse, maybe. I don't know. It was one of the earlier ones up there. It was the whole idea of building community. And I don't know if you guys realize or have ever thought about this type of thing, but God created a great diversity in people, huge diversity. I mean, just look at your neighbor, you know? I mean, we're not all the same. We're not a bunch of, you know, stamped out robots, okay? But when he divided the people up, there's only two categories that he really divided them up in. Jew and Gentile. Okay? He gave special privileges to the Jew of knowing him and being able to express himself through his chosen people. And the Gentile was supposed to look to the Jew and recognize and realize that and see that. Okay? So I don't know if there's any Jewish person here. Doesn't really matter. But I know I'm Gentile. And I know that there's a lot of others in Iowa that are Gentile. So that was the whole idea of the let's get together thing, is we're all Gentiles. Most of us are all Gentiles in Iowa, okay? It doesn't matter what our skin color is. It doesn't matter the language that we speak. That's a side thing. That was just some of the diversity that God put into us as people, okay? So the whole let's get together, it was great. Loved it, challenging a little bit too. But the highlight for me, the praise of it for me, was Friday night, the evening. You may remember while we were setting this all up that I made the statement of, on Friday, we're going to do a potluck. And I think I said something along the lines of, and the Latinos don't know about that yet. meaning that they were supposed to bring food also. We didn't go hungry. They showed up and brought food also. I mean, for me, that was a praise, okay? So they started coming to the events, started doing different things. We were advertising, Friday, we're going to do a potluck. Bring some food with you, you know, type of a thing. And sure enough, Friday comes, 150. I never counted. It was full in the, whatever we call that room over there, where the tables are at. It was full. Every church people, family people here, the Latino community was here. We're all Gentiles. We were all there together building community within the church community. And that's what the praise was for me.
Yes. You know, that was my praise too. I watched all week. I kind of was back off from most of it throughout the week. But it started off really slow. And all of us were saying, Lord, what are you doing? Because we saw hardly anything going on Monday and Tuesday. And then the next night it was a little bit more. And the next night it was a little bit more. And by Friday night, there was people all over this place putting handprints on every one of the doors. Sorry, Steve. But they were all over the place. And it was just phenomenal to see all different skin colors mixed. Because that's what it was. It was not one table here, one table here, one table here. It was a mixture, just totally mixed up. And people were, yep, that's exactly right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, we don't know where this is going. We think we have several families possibly that are interested in an impossible Bible study. Just in their homes, okay? So if you're interested in kind of helping with some of this after, and it's not really after, it's the next step type of thing, where you can say, yeah, I'd be willing to translate, or I'd be willing to help lead or be a part of something. We don't know where it's going to go, but we do know that God is at work. God is opening doors. One of the highlights of my week was sitting down on Friday night with a pastor from Belmont, who is a Hispanic pastor, who has a Hispanic church over there, and he said to me, he says, we'll help you any way we can. And we started to develop this relationship, and I'm going to get together with him, and they may be over here to visit us, but there is, and his comment was, there's something going on here. God is doing something in these communities, in this relationship. And so we're praising God. That's what we're doing. We're praising him for what he's doing. And I just want to say thank you. And Amber, where's Amber at?
Yes. Amber, thank you, here. Amber.
Amber, your administrative gifts are phenomenal. Okay. And I know you don't want to be exalted, but we're not. We're just saying thank you. Thank you for that. And every person who helped, you know, I just can't express enough how generous you have been.
Yeah, and that's what I'd like to say too. I mean, as a church community, the whole body, thank you for coming, helping out, doing whatever you did, whether you were helping as Amber did with doing all the stuff that I forgot, or just sitting in the dunk tank or playing a game with a kid or whatever it was. If you showed up, thank you very much, and I greatly appreciate it. So
it was a team of a church, and so we praise God. Would you praise God with me? We do praise God, and so let's just close in prayer, and want the worship team come on up here as we pray. Lord God, it is exciting to participate with you because you are awesome. Your works are amazing. Your heart is for all the world, all the nations, to stand before you and praise you and worship you. Lord, today we worship you. We praise you for the things that you have done and the things that you've taken away, the things that we don't understand. Lord God, we praise you with all of our heart. May you be praised by all the nations, Lord. And may we be those who stand and praise you first. In Jesus' name.